Very nice to see you again. And I'm going to take as a text this morning. Thank you, Marion, again, for reading so clearly and helpfully for us. So I'm going to take 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, where we read this. To this you were called. Maybe I should go back half a verse and so you know what we're talking about. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Wonder how good you are, any of you, at impressions. And you're looking at one another and, yeah. I guess all of you can do the Tommy Cooper, can't you? Yeah. I'd like to know what other impressions that you can do. Our house, do you know, is full of impressions all the time. And don't look down your nose at me, because I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mrs. Butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, who's at home because of the COVID today. Some of you will watch Doc Martin, I don't doubt. Well, whenever we've got Doc Martin on, I am no longer Malcolm, I am Martin. And all the West Country, oh dear me, you wouldn't believe it. I came out this morning because she's got COVID. All I did was blow her a kiss. And this Northern Irish woman greeted me as we left. You know, wished me well for this morning. She comes out with some Welsh. She comes out with this, that, and the other. I can't say that I'm particularly good. Well, I'm not very good at accents anyway, and I'm not very good at impressions. But I used to be able to do a good Ian Paisley. There is one here today by the name of Michael Clues, and we all know what he is, don't we? And let me just say that I did get Michael's permission to do that beforehand, which, as far as I know, is not a good impression of Ian Paisley. I wonder how good you are at impressions. And I wonder how many of us would say that we do a good Jesus. Do you do a good impression of Jesus? And of course you do understand as soon as I say that or ask that, that I'm not talking about Mike Yarwood. I'm not talking about somebody wandering on, you know, with a false beard and sandals and stuff like that, and doing peace and love, man, peace and love. Oh, that's more Cliff Richard, I suppose. I'm not talking about anything like that. Though I do suppose, when I'm asking if you do a good impression of Jesus, there is a part of me that's asking that both in what you say and in how you say it, is very important. It's part and parcel of being a Christian. Yeah, so it's, oh dear. Sometimes, you know, you listen to Christian people, they do say biblical stuff, this Christian stuff, where they say it with such venom. And you think, where's that coming from? I think Peter here is wanting us to do a good Jesus. In that text, he has three phrases, really. And I'll read it all to you again. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. And then he says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, maybe if I asked you to define what you meant by being a Christian, you might say following in the footsteps of Jesus. You might not exactly know what you meant by that, but you would. There would be some element of going where Jesus goes. That can be a dangerous thing sometimes, going where Jesus goes. And steering clear of where Jesus wouldn't go sometimes. I mean, Jesus goes all sorts of... It was the religious people who pointed at him saying, look at that bloke. They're tax collectors, sinners, publicans. Oh, if he knew what kind of woman she was. Following... What is the point of singing something like, oh, Jesus, I have promised. Oh, let me see thy footsteps and in them plant my own. What's the point of singing that if it's just for the sake of singing it? I have promised to serve thee to the end. So following in his footsteps, isn't that what Jesus meant when he came right at the beginning? Oi, guys, fishermen, oi, follow me. That's the way to become fishers of men, matey, if you follow me. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant my own. The next thing he says is this, working backwards. He says, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. I'm not sure that I have ever in my Christian life really liked the word example, because I think it's open to people defining it how they want to define it, and still alleging that they are thoroughly Christian. The Sermon on the Mount is... I follow the example of the sermon... Do you? Really? Pull the carpet from underneath you, you know? If you took the Sermon on the Mount seriously, really. But... The word really for example here is template. Anybody who works with a fret saw and etc., you know, a template, or the kits that you buy them at Christmas, these things that they've to trace around. You want to draw a battery and camel and you trace around it. Oh, wow, you're ever so good at drawing. Well, followed the template. You ladies, I mean, some of you, you're freelance with your knitting. Just absolutely amazing. I don't get it at all. But a lot of people will follow the pattern. And that's the idea that we've got here. Again, those of you, male and female, who cook. People like me, even for chips, we have to follow a recipe. But... Others of you, you know, You can bung it all in and something absolutely amazing comes out. Okay, okay. But following his example is, well, at very least it's doing what it says here in the tin, in the scripture. And I sometimes wonder, you know, how many of the books, 66 in the Bible, do we bother with? Because we've got our favourites. But why did God give us the whole counting of his word? Following his example is finding out what's on the heart of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, doing the same. And then how about this one? How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. And this is asking the questions. We shall ask the question again in a few minutes' time. Can you do a good impression of Good Friday? Do you know what that means? On the one hand, to recognize that on Good Friday, Jesus suffered and died for you and me. But also to know that this is our calling. I have been crucified. The big I am, the me, the self, crucified with Christ. And then on to Easter Day, it's no longer I who live, me, but Christ who lives in me. So, can you do a good impression of Jesus? Do you do? The passage that Marion read for us tells us that general overview applies to every aspect of your life and mine, every aspect. Without, you know, we tend to put life into boxes, and this is working life, this is home life, this is recreation, etc. But the scripture says that, you know, doing an impression of Jesus, following in his footsteps, applies to absolutely everything. And it applies even in what we might regard in the worst of circumstances. There's reference here to slavery. The only slavery I know about, it talks about being slaves to God here. That's voluntary. I know nothing about the practice, but I wouldn't like it for a moment. He's writing to a persecuted people. He's writing to a people who are under the governance of an occupying army. And he's still saying, do your Jesus impression. Do you? Now, the response that I don't want this morning, that if you tell me, I should just go, la di da di da da da. If the response I don't want is, I will try, Malcolm. I will try to do a good impression of Jesus. Because for me, that's a misunderstanding of the nature of Christian. It's that's saying, I recognize it's down to me. No, it's not. I recognize that I've got to pull my socks up. Well, if you wear socks, yeah, go on. But this is not about your effort this passage of scripture. This is about our submission to Jesus and what it means to hold his hand in faith and trust and to say, lead me on, Lord, lead me on. Wherever you go, I'll go. And if you will give me the strength, I'll do it. I'll do it. Quick overview of all the circumstances here. And what that means. He kicks in straight, you know. Haven't got time just to do very much other than read this. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Do a good Jesus. Do a good Jesus and all the stuff. And when accusations come, as accusations do, most of the accusations you and I have faced, you have regarded as completely unfair, as have I. From somebody else's point of view, they may not be unfair, but live such a good life. I think about the centurion on Good Friday. This guy on the cross there is gone through, you know, a pretty rough mock trial and etc. But he's wound up, nailed to a cross on that Friday. And then with a loud voice, he just cries out the one word in the Greek, Tetelestai! It's finished. It's done. We've won. Tetelestai. And the centurion there, who'd seen loads of people die, surely this man, Son of God. Wow. Such good lives. That all the accusations are just. And then Peter takes us into politics and society. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. I mean, I find that hard enough now in a democracy. To have been, you know, stuck in a Roman dictatorship where people like you and I could well find ourselves up against the lions and the tigers and all the other, or against some other gladiator. Oh, awful. And yet. Then he goes on to speak about slavery. I mean, a lot of people are upset about Paul and Peter for never condemning slavery and etc. I don't think anybody ever feels that this is a right. I mean, you and I should perhaps take our stand more thoroughly than we do today for what we now, we sanitize it all and call it human trafficking. It's slavery, guys. It's slavery. And we should be as outspoken as William Wilberforce was years and years and years ago. We should. And yet, Peter is still saying, in that given circumstance, I still want you to do a good Jesus. I still want you to walk in his footsteps. I still want you to give a good account of what it is to be a Christian. Oh, we whinge. You know, we're gold medal whingers. Anything at all that we don't like, church life or anywhere else, whinge. off we go. And Paul's countenancing people who have no rights, slaves, live as Christians, because that's the way to show that you are a Christian. And he goes on to the home, he talks about human relationships, husbands and wife. Again, to my mind, the husbands, we come off pretty much scot-free, which I'm sure is not what he intended. But he speaks to the ladies, it applies to the blokes as well. He says, let your real beauty be an inward beauty. Don't think that being doled up to the nines is what it's all about. There's an inner beauty that, you know, no matter of no amount of makeup and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then he just simply says to the fellas, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. I wonder what he's getting at. Nothing may hinder your prayer. He's talking about relationship between husband and wife can actually, if it's not working well, it can get in the way of your prayers. And I think, well, whose prayers? My prayers? Our prayers? The church's prayers? He's saying nothing should hinder your prayers. And this doing a good Jesus should be apparent in who you are and how you relate, even as husband and wife. So, how are we going to do this? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And here for me is just a few clues. In his birth, Jesus, we sing it, you laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me. Well, that's a good starting point. Instead of being on your high horse, instead to give up everything for each other, for one another, that's how it talks, really is talking about Jesus and his life. How, for instance, Jesus got up early in the morning so that his prayers were not squeezed out. How about us? I hope you do pray. I hope you pray every day. I hope you check in with God, because that's where your power will come from. But if your life's too busy, could you follow Jesus when he gets up early in the morning to pray? Could you do that? To check in with the Lord? And do you remember that, for instance, just picking out random things, do you remember how Jesus reached out and touched the leper? Could you do that? That there are people who are unloved, unlovely, unlovable. And in the name of Jesus and with the love of Jesus, can you reach out and touch them? Reach out and lay your hand upon them. Can you express compassion and tenderness? Can you speak as he spoke? Can you go where he went? Can you do a good Maundy Thursday? Can you kneel down and wash the feet of this lot? Can you love one another as he loves you? Can you do the Good Friday? Can you be crucified with Christ so that it is no longer you who live, but he who lives in you? Can you die daily as he writes to the Corinthians? Again, just acknowledging every day that every day is a fresh start and you need to do it all over again. Can you rise with him on Easter Day and be a new creation? Will you rise with him at the last? This is all about submission to Jesus, all about holding his hand and walking with him. And just to close, you might say, well, why should I do all this? What's in it for me? Well, what's in it for you and me is being at every stage of our lives where he is. And as soon as you want to become freelance and say to Jesus, well, come with me if you like, you're running on empty. It's only Jesus that will plug you in. The word power, empowered, has become, for me, in the last 5-10 years, become a buzzword in the church. Well, okay, well and good. But how do you expect to be empowered unless you're plugged in constantly and it's a short plug line? It won't stretch everywhere between you and him, and you're walking with him. If you want his company, you want his blessing, you want his peace, you want his presence, you want his power, then you go with him. You follow him. You embrace him as a template. And this is what it means to be a witness. And this will lead us on safely through this life, and then assuredly beyond this life into the kingdom he's preparing. Do you do a good impression of anyone? Do you do a good impression of Jesus? Because this is good for you if you do. This is good for us if you do. And this is good for our whole community if you do and if you will.